Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. We're counting our blessings today. Yes, if you're able to, mothers, stand up. All mothers, stand up. If you're not, raise your hand real high. Okay, let's show our appreciation to all of our mothers. We appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for being here today. Okay, now we're going to do something a little different here. How many of you mothers are 70 years or older? Raise your hand. We're going to raise your hand if you're 70 or older. Okay, now if you're 75 and older, get your hand up there. 75 or older. 80 or older. 85 or older. Lena? Is Lena the only hand I see? Hey! I get in trouble doing this, but you want to share the secret number? No? Okay. Okay. Mothers with three or more children, raise your hand. Three or more children, raise it real high, real high. How many of you have four or more? How many hands went down? Okay, how many, Yvonne, how many do you have? Four. Don't play golf in here. Come on now. And we have four and four, four. Let's give them all a hand. Where would we be without a mother? We wouldn't be here. Period. Period. God has given us mothers. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. It's good to see all of you, but especially our mothers today as we celebrate God together, as we count our blessings, count the blessings of having mothers and others around us as well. If you want to turn in your scriptures to 1 Peter chapter 4, we're just looking at one verse to begin with today, but we're going to be referencing several other verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter 4, 19. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Today I want to focus our message on entrusted souls, mothers doing right. Mothers who are doing right. Thomas Jefferson said last week, no, it wasn't last week. He once said, "The happiest moments of my life have been the few which I passed at home in the bosom of my family." How many of you have had a wonderful experience of having family and the love and care and concern of family? That is a blessing from God. That is God's design, that a family would be there to support, encourage, uplift you. Now, some people have not enjoyed that blessing, but count it a blessing. Count your blessings if you've had the good experience of a good family. God, by God's divine plan, the family was established with starting with two prominent individuals, the father and the mother. Right? And both are important. Today we're going to honor our mothers in a special way. Setting aside a special day to honor motherhood has been a custom of many countries for many years, for a long time. But in the United States of America, it wasn't until June the 2nd, 1872. Do you remember that, Mr. Ed? Bob, you remember that one? The two of you, you should talk about those days, the good old days, okay? It was in 1872 that the author of the Battle Hymn of Republic, her name is Julia Ward Howe, she began promoting the first local observance in her community. And it took 42 years, but finally 42 years later, there was a national recognition that was finally achieved to honor mothers. Thank you, mothers. Mothers, you are special to each and every one of us. After all, like we said earlier, if we didn't have a mother, we would not be here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, it reminds us to honor our fathers and mother. We had that passage read earlier. Why? So that God's blessings will come upon us throughout our entire life. God commissioned fathers and mothers to combine their capabilities, to combine their knowledge, their time, their effort, their experience, to bring children into this world for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God. Most of you adults who've had children, is that an easy job? Definitely not. It takes a lifetime, doesn't it? It's a constant challenge, constant battle to try to raise up the children to be who they could be, who God wants them to be. Helen Welshimer wrote an interesting little poem titled Her Day. Some of you ladies, maybe all of you, can associate with this little poem. Let me try to get it into rhythm here. She cooked the breakfast, first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children and made sure stockings all were mates, combed their heads and made their beds, sent them out to play, gathered up their motley toys, put some books away, dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked some cookies and a pie. Then she made some stew. I'm getting hungry. The telephone rang constantly. The doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe. Then the laundry came. She picked up blocks and mended socks and blackened up the stove. Gypsy folk were fortunate with carefree ways to rove. And when her husband came at 6, he said, "I envy you. It must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do." Don't throw anything, please. That's not me. Motherhood is filled with all kinds of challenges. One mother was shopping in a busy, crowded mall, and she had her little 3-year-old with her. And the little girl, guess what? Wore out. And she was starting to throw a little fit, a little tantrum. And finally, the mother saw the toy store up ahead and bent down and said, "Do you want to go to the toy store?" And of course, immediately the little girl brightened up, said, "Yeah, we're going." She took off and started running, and the mother had to catch up, started running. And so she thought, "Well, I've got to keep this going, you know." And she told her little girl, said, "Better hurry up or I'm going to beat you there." And the little girl stopped, said, "Don't beat me, mother! Don't beat me!" Guess what everybody in the mall did? Immediately, all the attention was on the mother. What's going on over there? Yeah, you mothers, you got it easy, don't you? No, sometimes it's very challenging. Very challenging. Many mothers aren't given the credit for all that they do, all the work that they do, and motherhood in our society has been belittled. It's been discredited, and many of you have been told you are not reaching your full capacity being just a mother. Have any of you ever heard that one? And yet, motherhood is ordained by who? By God. It is a special gift that God gives many of you women. A special gift, a role, and an honor that God honors for eternity. Once again, 1 Peter 5, chapter 4, verse, excuse me, 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Mothers and everybody else, are we being sure to do what is right, entrusting our souls to our Creator, doing what God calls us to do? Today, we're going to be looking at many of the challenges that many of the women of Scripture faced in doing what is right. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, as we open up your Scripture and look at the many references to the work of mothers, the efforts, the ordeals that they went through, the challenges they went through. Father, we thank you for the good examples of mothers who hung in there and did their best to honor and glorify you. And we thank you for your blessings as a result. We thank you for our mothers today, not just our mothers. We thank you for all of our women. We thank you for brothers in faith, for families of faith, for individuals who will take a stand for your truth. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who has opened the door of salvation for us. Help us to draw ever closer to Jesus, to honor him with our lives. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we work through this thought of souls that are entrusted, mothers that are entrusted to do what is right, I've got seven different thoughts in regard to that. The first one is that mothers face limitations of aging bodies. Now, I know a lot of you ladies keep telling us that you are only 19, right? After all, we don't like to deal with some of those things called birthdays. But as we honestly face things, with the passing of years, strength and vitality begin to fade out. It seems like all that wear and tear has an effect on us, doesn't it? Some women insist that they will be 19 for the rest of their life. Doctors warn a lot of you women to be careful as you get older. After Sally and I were married, we got a late start. But Sally started bearing our first child in her late 30s. And the doctor that she went to was horrified that she was so old trying to have a baby. And we went through a lot of discussion with the doctor on what tests were going to be done, et cetera, and what was not going to be done. And we insisted we're going to take what God gives us. God is the source of what? Of life. And he is the one who blesses us with children. And God blessed us with two children, and we're thankful for them. But a lot of you women have gone through a lot of grief. But just think about it. God is greater than your physical limitations. How would you like to go back to the days of Sarah? Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 17 tells us, records for us, that Sarah was barren. She did not have any children. God promised to Abraham that he would have a descendants more numerous than all the earth could count. And Sarah was barren clear up to the age of 90. Yes. 90 years old. Even in their day, it was recognized women don't have babies at 90. And yet God blessed Sarah to become pregnant with Isaac and bore him at age 90. God gave life. God kept his promise. And God gave her the strength and the joy of having a child, to bear a child at that age. Laughter is his name. God gives life to every individual for his purpose. And we need to respect that. We need to honor that. And God does that through this little person that we call a mother. Thank you, mothers. Luke chapter 1, verse 36-37 carries another story of a similar picture. We're not told of the exact age, but Elizabeth was an older woman. And her husband and her had been praying for children for a long time. She was barren, but God finally answered the prayer. And through Elizabeth, God provided the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist. Just to think, how would you like your child, your one and only child, to announce the coming king, to announce the Savior of the world. She was blessed even in her old age. And just in general, the thought I want to share with you, whatever your age, God wants you to serve Him as best as you can. Whoever you are, it's not just mothers, but God wants every one of us to please Him and honor Him and serve Him. Our second group of mothers is mothers who face persecutions and destruction. Mothers who face persecutions and destruction. The book of Exodus opens up with the miseries and the harsh treatment, the enslavement of the nation of Israel under the oppression of Egypt. They were horribly treated, barely surviving. And yet God gave many, many children to those parents, those slaves. He got to the point where the Egyptians said, there's too many of those Israelites. Get rid of them. What are we going to do? And one of the commands was that all of the newborn males were to be trashed in the Nile River. Throw those babies away into the Nile. They are trash. We have the same attitude today. People who don't want their children throwing their babies away. The gift of life that God gave to them. But we see there in the story, back there in the book of Exodus, that there was one mother who said, this baby is not trash. This is a gift from God. And she spent 3 months protecting that little infant, trying her best, trying her hardest to keep him alive. She even went to the point of weaving together a basket, putting tar on it, preparing it as a little boat, and setting her baby in that, sealing it, and setting it in the river. And who came out of that? God restored baby Moses to his very own mother. If you remember the story, the sister was out watching the basket, and along comes Pharaoh's daughter. She finds this basket, sends her servants out, brings the basket in, opens it up, and pop goes the weasel. No. There's Moses drawn from the water, the baby of the water, Moses. And God allowed this faithful mother, this hardworking mother, to raise her own child. She got paid for it. How many of you moms want to get paid for raising your children? That'd be something, wouldn't it? In a sense, you are. The blessings that come, the blessings of that mother knowing that her child was still alive. And eventually at age 40, he tried to deliver his people because mama told him who he was. He was raised as an Egyptian, but he was taught that he was a child of Israel, a descendant of Abraham. And God eventually used him to deliver the whole group out of slavery to the land of promise, fulfilling more prophecies of God. Even in the worst persecutions and trials, we are to honor who first? God. Always honor God, no matter what the trial. And He will use our efforts for His glory. This is one of the marvelous, fantastic stories of how a woman who was put in a desperate situation overcame it, and God blessed her efforts. Mothers face great distress or separations. In 1 Samuel, it begins with the story of Hannah, another woman who was barren. She was ridiculed. Her husband had another wife. And that other wife was very productive with children. And in the Israelite culture, you have more children. That shows God's blessings. And this other lady was having all the babies. And Hannah was being mocked and ridiculed, especially when they went to the temple before God. And she was driven to tears. Her co-woman of the house drove her to tears over the fact that, Hannah, God doesn't love you. You're not having any children. And finally, Hannah was just driven to weep before God. And then, on top of that, as she's praying to God, not saying words, but her lips are moving, and the old priest is sitting there watching, he accuses her of being drunk. What's wrong with you, woman? You're not supposed to come in here drunk before God. I'm not drunk. And she explained her condition. And God listened. God answered her prayer, giving her a son whom she named Samuel. And she had made a promise during that prayer, that episode, that if God would give her a little boy, she would devote him back to God's full-time service. God gave her that little boy. Samuel, at age 3, was taken by her mother with an offering back to the tabernacle. She presented her little boy, Samuel, to the priest with the offering and said, "Here's the son that God gave me. I made a vow that he would become your servant, the servant of God, the rest of his life." How many of you women would walk away from your 3-year-old and leave him behind to serve God? We are told that she only got to see Samuel once a year. But through that year, she did something very special. She prepared a coat for him every year. Don't you think with every stitch, every effort of putting that coat together, she was saying a prayer for her son who was serving God in a place that she couldn't go? And she would take that new made coat. She would wrap that coat of love around him, that handmade coat, each year. With every visit, God was good to her, and she was thankful for the answer. And a result of that is that Hannah was blessed with 5 more kids. After years of being barren, she had a total of 6 children, one of them being the greatest servant of God of the time, Samuel the prophet. You know what, ladies and guys too? Distress and separation trouble you now. Maybe you'll have trouble tomorrow. Maybe you'll have great distress. But don't keep your eyes away from God. Serve God even more. Even through the hardships, God has promised us. Jesus promised us if we're going to serve him, we're going to have trials. We're going to have hardships. Keep your eyes on God. And through those times, be sure to honor God. Design, weave, and stitch the love of God into your relationships now while you have the opportunity. Let love be a part of your life now. You never know when you're going to lose those loved ones, do we? They're gone so quick. But we can love them now. We can show our love now. And that's what Hannah did with her son. The fourth group of women that we see are some mothers face their sins against their husbands. Some women face their sins against their husband. Now, I know none of you ladies have ever done anything wrong with your spouse, right? Well, unfortunately, in Scripture, it's very clear, very upfront, and we see it in our society today. Infidelity in marriage has been a curse for ages. Unfaithfulness between husbands and wives is not just one side. I'm not just blaming the ladies today. Please don't take that as what I'm saying. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it records the account of Bathsheba giving in to the lure of King David. She was a married woman, but her husband was gone, and when King David sent his servants, she gave in. She allowed herself to be used. Their sin led to the illegitimate pregnancy. And then they tried to hide it. And there was a lot of turmoil that took place in her life. Can't you hear her voice sending the message to King David? I'm pregnant. Now what are we going to do? And of course, that led to the calling of her husband off the battlefront, trying to get him to fulfill the role of the father. He never did. And that led King David to basically have him executed in battle. The death of her husband resulted from her unfaithfulness and David's unfaithfulness. And not only that, the child that was born also died. Many mothers today still grieve over the loss of their children. Not because of maybe some particular sin, but it hurts when we lose someone, doesn't it? But in her case, Bathsheba's case, she was the reason. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, who is full of forgiveness, God, who is loving and compassionate and kind, forgave the couple when they repented. When they admitted their sin, they confessed their sin, God forgave them. Now, under Mosaic law commands that adulterers be stoned to death. That's in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. But this couple did not get stoned to death. They still remain alive. And as a result, later, David takes Bathsheba as his wife. And God turned a really rotten, stinky, messy situation into a blessing. Because Bathsheba became pregnant again. And that child became known as Solomon, the third king of Israel. And something else about Solomon. What else do we know about Solomon? Scripture says he was the wisest man who walked the earth. Now, I firmly believe that excludes Jesus Christ, because Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God-man. But Scripture gives the credit to this child from this rotten situation to become the wisest man on earth. Some people wonder, how wise was he to having so many wives? That's a whole other story. But people from all over the earth came to Solomon to hear his wisdom. You know what? When we read Scripture, we find out that how many of us have sinned? All of us. All who have sinned in their lives are given the opportunity to turn away from that sin, to repent from their corruption. Why? So that God can use you for good. God can use you for good if you'll just turn back to Him. We see a fifth category. Some mothers, and in this case even grandmothers, face raising children on their own. Oh, we see it so many times. Fathers sometimes die, or quite often we see today fathers just walk away and leave the mother with the problem. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we see a situation where the father had died. We see a widow introduced, and she has one son. And she is outside the gate of the city collecting a little bundle of sticks to make one more fire to cook one last meal before she and her little boy will starve to death. But God intervened. Because God had prepared for this woman who had only a handful of flour for her son and herself, God said, no, you're going to feed my prophet. And along comes the prophet Elisha. And Elisha says to her, asks her, what are you doing? I'm collecting firewood for my final meal. And Elisha says, of all the nerve, must be the male ego, you know. Why don't you fix the food for me first? And then you can fix some for your child. Oh, what would you do? She believed him, trusted him, And from that day on, she and her little boy ate as long as Elisha was in the house. They had food for everybody because God took care of them. God intervened and sent Elisha the prophet to care for them in their time of greatest need. And Elisha continued to provide for her, not just while he was at the house, but years later. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it reveals that Timothy's spiritual upbringing in Christ was not because of his father, but because of his mother and grandmother. The mother and the grandmother were the Christians in the family, and they were the ones who were taking the responsibility. They were the ones who were doing the duty that was supposed to be done by both parents. But we don't see the father in the picture at all. And yet Timothy is raised in the truth of Scripture and is picked by Paul to be one of his helpers. And we have two letters in our Bible now because of Timothy, who was raised by his mother and his grandmother to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches that fathers are to lead in caring for the physical and spiritual needs, to take care of their family. So guys, yeah, we have a responsibility to step up to the plate. But, ladies, if your guy's not doing the job, does that let you off the hook? No way. You are still responsible, and you may be raising up a Timothy, a great preacher, a servant of God, in your efforts. Keep it up. Do the work. It may take extra effort, but God will bless your efforts. Be faithful to Him. The sixth group of women is some mothers face scorn, poverty, and a transient life. You ever feel like you're just not getting everything that everybody else is getting? Maybe you feel like you're just a little oppressed, downtrodden, not quite getting all the blessings of life that you would really like to have. Well, turn your thoughts back to the mother of Jesus. You know, Mary was not confirmed as the wife. The marriage was not sealed until after Jesus was born. Imagine going around with somebody for 9 months and saying, yeah, he's my husband, but we kind of do things separate, you know. Imagine the attitude of the family, the friends, the few friends that she had left. After all, Mary was supposed to be a good girl, and she's having a baby. What's going on here? How humbling was that? And then, just when she's almost ready to deliver, what happens? They're part of the family of David, and they have to get on the road and travel in the worst conditions, in the worst time of her days, the final hours, pre-labor. How comfortable was Mary those last few miles to Bethlehem? And Joseph and Mary arrive, and after all, he made reservations at the Hilton Inn, didn't he? And they start looking for a place to put their head down. And what kind of accommodations did they end up with? Bad. Sleeping in the barn. How many of you women would put up with a guy that drags you across the country and says, go sleep in the barn? Sleeping in the stable with animals, with stench, in order to bring this little baby into the world. God's Redeemer. And Mary hung in there. She trusted in the message of the angel. She was a faithful wife. And these humble parents then had to run for their lives, flee to Egypt in the middle of the night in order to keep themselves and the baby alive. And then when they finally get word that it's okay to return because King Herod is dead, where do they end up going to? Not the Hilton. Not the capital city. They end up in a little podunk town called Nazareth. And later on, we have the attitude of people about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet they continued in their circumstances. Scripture calls for us to be content in whatever state, whatever situation we are in. We see this attitude with Mary, learning to be content with whatever circumstances she was in. I would encourage each and every one of you to learn contentment, trusting in God that He's taking care of you, even in what may appear to be bad circumstances. And the final group of women, some mothers face the knowledge of their kids is better than them. Their holiness is better than them. Their purity is better than them. Continuing with the story of Mary's situation. The angel told her she's going to have just a regular kid, right? No, you're going to have the Son of God, the Messiah. Scripture doesn't say anything about it, but Scripture does say that all of us people are sinners. Do you think that Mary was aware that she was a sinner? That she had sin in her life? Now, this violates some doctrines of some churches, but Scripture says that Mary was a person and she had sin in her life. And we see part of this as she continues in the years. When they 12 years go by from the birth, and at age 12 they are following their regular practice of obeying God, they go to the temple. Jesus is age 12. The family make their sacrifice. The family packs up and they head back home, and mom and dad look around, and where's Jesus? He's not here. They check with all the family, all the relatives, all the neighbors that are going back to Nazareth. He's not here. So they go back to Jerusalem looking for their child. How many of you lost your child in the mall or someplace? A little nerve-wracking, isn't it? They look for 3 days. It's not until the third day until they finally find Jesus. And where is he at? He's sitting in the temple discussing Scripture with the leaders. And Mama and Daddy come up, "What do you think you're doing here? Where have you been all this time?" What do you think was going on? First of all, they're wondering, is their child still alive? And then when they find him, they're thinking, "Boy, when I get you home, we've got a woodshed back in the back. What are you doing here?" And what is his response? "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Wow. Mama's up here. She thinks she's queen of the castle. And Jesus comes back. "Didn't you know I needed to be in my Father's house?" Where's her attitude now? Poop. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking to God. She didn't understand all of this situation, but she realized she needed to listen to her son. Jesus began his ministry, recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 21 and following. Jesus was engaged in his ministry, and Mama and the brothers and the sisters all show up to take Jesus into custody because they think that he has lost his senses. He's gone crazy. He's not thinking right. We got to get him home. And Jesus responds, "Who is my mother, my brothers, my sisters, the people that are listening to me?" And Mama and the rest of the family got sent home without him. Mama didn't understand what was going on. even though she had been told by an angel 30 years earlier, your son is the Messiah. Even to the cross, even to the grave, even after the resurrection, it wasn't making sense. But she, and we know at least two of the sons, two of the brothers, stepbrothers of Jesus, became believers that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Through all this, we learn that sometimes the people around us may have a little bit more under their belt than what we realize. And we need to respect them. We need to honor them. In the case of Jesus, we need to serve them. Jesus was served by his mother. She became a believer. Mothers, fathers, everyone. You know, we face many challenges. We face many obstacles. We face many barriers in life. But when we stand with God through Jesus Christ, God will use all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Through all of life, through all the trials, hardships, every one of you has situations that are heartbreaking, challenging. Keep your focus on God. Keep serving God. And God will bless you. God will use it for good. You got to keep your faith in him. And he will reward you for how long? Forever. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, help us, as you have been so faithful to do. We pray that we will continue to keep our eyes on you, to serve you, to honor you, through the loss of loved ones, loss of our children, loss of friends, the hardships, the trials, persecutions. Let us always glorify you and do what is right and good in your eyes. Use us as your tools to perform your will. Let us be your people, not by your own power, but through the power of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, Savior of all of us. Let us glorify Jesus and thus glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.